मस्जिद की गर तलाश है, सर को झुका नमाज में
Welcome, my dear friends. This is Gitanjali Kohl, and I present Zee Tonight. I am in the city of the Nawab called Lucknow, and I have the pleasure of meeting Mehru Jafar, who lived in Europe for 30 years, walked the ramp in her youth, and did a lot of theatre and films. A versatile personality who is now the author of 3 books on mystical aspects of Islam, including a biography of Muhammad, founder and prophet of Islam. Hi, Mehru.
Hi.
Welcome to G Cafe. How does it feel to come back to India after so many years?
Oh, wonderful. I never really lost touch with India. I was always coming and going, but now I'm here to stay.
That's good. Tell us a little about yourself, please.
You said it all in the introduction, didn't you?
I know. But I would like to hear it from you coming straight.
Yeah. For me, I think I'm going through a very interesting phase in my life. My boys are now 30 and 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is retired, and I was feeling kind of useless to the family, so I decided that I should be doing something substantial for myself, and the question was what.
Okay.
And I decided that I needed to touch base with India once more, because I'm a writer, and I just feel that, you know, sitting in India writing Indian stories makes much more sense than writing Indian
abroad.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I did, and what is very nice is, you know, it was my dream to come to Lucknow not only as a visitor, but to be living here. And so now I have my own flat.
Okay.
And I have a beautiful a library and a writing table.
Well,
and what more can
nice.
I want?
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
So why this topic about what you've written? Tell me the names of your books first.
The first, actually I'm...
Journalism from Europe itself, or...?
Yes, of course. I
okay.
never let it go. I started journalism soon. It was my first job.
Okay.
After university, I did my master's in English literature from Lucknow University. And even before the results came out...
You started working.
I started working in the Pioneer,
okay.
you know, but not this Pioneer,
okay.
Owned by whoever, but the Rudyard Kipling Pioneer that was, you know, with Mr. S. N. Ghosh, the
this
editor.
This is which year you're talking about?
This is 73.
Okay.
Yes, a long time ago, before
time.
You were born,
I know.
Probably. So, you know, there was a choice at that stage in my life, either to take theater acting as a profession or journalism.
So you chose journalism.
I chose journalism, but continued with acting on stage. So I was for a while doing both simultaneously, and then in 1982 I got married.
Okay.
And my husband was working for the United Nations in Vienna, so that's where I went.
Okay.
Had both the boys there.
And you continued
and
writing
and I
from
continued
there.
Writing.
Okay, okay.
You know, I continued writing, reporting live for Times Now,
TV,
on Indian Affairs,
okay.
and appearing in the European media talking about you know, what is happening in India, for Europe.
Okay.
So all that happened. And then we were for 6 years in Indonesia, and in the Indian Express, there was a column called Faith Line. I was talking in that column about the way Islam is practiced
in Indonesia,
which is a very, very unique.
Which year you're talking about?
From 96, between 96 to 2003.
Okay,
2003.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, okay.
So that's where I was. And that column was probably being read by someone in Penguin, India. Then after 9/11 happened, I was asked to write, you know, the biography of Muhammad, because there was a lot of question marks if Islam means peace in Arabic. Why is it associated with terrorism and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So it was not because I was interested in religion, but I have an academic interest in religion, because not because I'm a religious person, but what interests me is why are so many people in the world practicing religionists, you know, be they Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, whatever.
Yeah.
So basically, yes, and basically I look upon myself as a student of the history of religion.
Oh, that's very nice. Yes. Okay. And then you decided on to these other three books?
And no, this was in discussion with the editors.
Okay.
They said the world today discusses a lot of the theological and the jurisprudence in Islam.
Okay.
But they don't discuss at all the mystical and the poetical aspects of the Quran.
Okay.
So this is what Sufism is all about. So we decided to talk about Sufism in India.
Okay.
And the first book is about Mohinuddin Chishti, who was not even born in India. At the age of 50, he came from the Persian lands and settled not on the border of the Indian subcontinent, but he came into the heartland and made a home in Ajmer. So this was very fascinating, how a foreigner at the age of, you know, in his midlife could come and conquer the hearts of
so many
people and live and make a home amongst people who practiced a different culture, religion, spoke a different language.
True.
So the character of Mohinuddin Chishti is immensely fascinating in our day and age, because I look upon him, of course, as a man of God, if indeed there is a God, but more as an economic migrant. You know, he came, the Persian lands were being destroyed by the Mongol invaders.
Yeah.
So the populations were scattered here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So some went to the west and some came to the east. And Mohinuddin Chishti came in search of a job, basically, you know, to India.
Okay.
But he and while the Muslim warriors were conquering Indian land by force, here was a Muslim intellectual who conquered the hearts of, you know, the local
people. Yeah,
and so it's a fascinating story.
What is your second
the
book
second,
about?
So since Mohinuddin Chishti is the founder of the Chishtiya silsila of Islamic mysticism in India, it was just natural to continue
the
writing about the other
Chishtis,
saints.
Yeah.
Saints is not an appropriate translation of a Sufi, but so the second book is about Nizamuddin Aulia, who also lived in very interesting times. And at a time when, you know, the Muslims were ruling Delhi, had made Delhi their capital, but there was a lot of tension also among the different populations of Delhi.
Okay.
And Nizamuddin played a very pivotal role in bringing different people living in Delhi together, instead of ghettoizing them and fighting with, encouraging war between different populations.
He brought them together.
He brought them together. So Nizamuddin, you know, which is now a
neighborhood,
became, you know, a refuge, you know, for war victims, for people who were scared of, you know, being persecuted by the state. You know, he gave protection by this tradition of giving a free kitchen. So he became, you know, like an umbrella for all the destitute and the needy people, you know, people in need of love or food, in need of spiritual guidance. So he again is a mesmerizing character.
True.
And now,
and the third book is about?
The third book I'm writing now is part of this trilogy.
Okay.
Is on Amir Khusro, who was, you know, the closest companion to Nizamuddin Aulia.
Yeah, yeah.
And his contribution also is, you know, to have Indianized, you know, the Persian language. So he, by doing that, he increased communication between the Muslims who came, who were Persian speaking, and the local people, by laying the foundation of this beautiful language which belongs to India, called Urdu.
Okay.
So it was kind of, you know, it didn't exist in Amir Khusro's time as we know it today.
Today, yeah.
But the foundations, I feel, were laid
by him.
By him, okay. That long ago.
Very, very interesting aspects. Now tell me, can you give us some tips about writing? You know, people who are still new to writing, who want to write, who are learning how to write. Can you just tell us how to enhance and how to go about it?
Well, first and foremost, you must want to write. You know,
true.
So if you have that urge that you want to write, then the second thing is, I mean, today we got no training. You know, we were trained on the job.
Yeah.
So, but today there are so many schools and so many courses online, offline. So you can do all of that, but okay. In the end, you have to ask yourself, what is it that you want to say,
mm-hmm.
and why you want to say it? And when you've answered all those questions to yourself, then you have to make sure that what you say and what you mm-hmm. write is the truth. You know, it
okay.
should come from your heart.
Yeah,
you know,
that is true.
I mean, the worst thing a writer can do is to imitate
somebody
else.
Yeah.
You know,
to be original, like yeah.
If you have to, and to be original, you have to be very truthful. You know, you have to really go deep inside of yourself and
come out with the truth.
Come out with what is in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be the truth, because I think there obviously. Is no one aspect to
obviously.
Truth. There are different.
Obviously.
But you have to be, you know, true to yourself.
Truth, yeah.
And if you're true to yourself, if it's a story that is genuine, and then it will be liked by your reader as well.
Okay. Yeah. That was very, very nice. It was such a pleasure meeting you and speaking to you.
Okay.
And thank you very much, Mehru. Thank you for you to come to G Cafe. And I would like to come again and see when your third book is out. All the best for your third book.
Look forward to another chat.
All right, this is Gitanjali Kaul signing off from G Tonight. Thank you so much. This is G Cafe. Thanks for tuning in and take care. G Cafe.